DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Dr. Raymond Dennehy, who is a professor of philosophy at the University of San Francisco. He discovered the writing of the French philosopher Jacques Maritain during his undergraduate years at the University of San Francisco. He would later go on to write his doctoral dissertation on the work of Jacques Maritain. He has published a number of articles on Maritain and was a founding member of the American Maritain Association and later was its president for 7 years. With Dr. Raymond Dennehy, we go inside the pages of Jacques Maritain's classic works, Christianity and Democracy, and The Rights of Man and the Natural Law, a single-volume edition published by Ignatius Press. Dr. Dennehy, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Jacques Maritain, one of the great philosophers of our time. He had so much to share with us that's really relevant for our day.
Indeed. He lived at a time when Europe was in ferment, eve of the First World War, and then, of course, the Second World War, most of which he spent in the United States. And he belonged to a generation that the French writer Henri Marcy, in his book called The Generation of 1912. And these were French men and women, young, who were just, they had it with the cynicism of French culture, and they wanted meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see this in the Maritains' own lives. When they were students at the Sorbonne, and they couldn't find meaning in the materialistic courses that were being taught, they made a suicide pact. They were going to kill themselves if they didn't find meaning within a year.
Mm.
Fortunately, in other words, if they couldn't find meaning in matter in the material world in a year, and they did, they discovered the lectures of the great philosopher Henri Bergson at the Catholic Institute. But then they had been married for a few years, and under the influence of Leon Boy, they converted to Catholicism.
Mm.
And learned about the Christian ideal of virginity, and they took a formal vow of celibacy before the Archbishop of Paris and never had sex for the rest of their marriage.
Mm.
And this is most unusual, but I think you have to understand that these were not only two very intense people, probably both atheists at the start, but also part of this generation that had just had it with cynical views of morality and life.
Well, you think about what their cultural experience would have been, given everything France had gone through, the turbulent era that France was just coming out of.
See, what struck me, and it was really independent of my researches on Maritain, was the cynicism of the French culture. And I'm thinking of, for example, in Massenet's opera, Thaïs, and mm-hmm. I've forgotten the author of the novel on which it is based,
mm-hmm.
is cynical. In other words, the monk comes to Babylon, I've forgotten the town now, North Africa. What a sinful city, and he's going to convert it. And he converts Thais, who's a prostitute, and she becomes a nun.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he gets consumed with lust for her as she's dying and tries to talk her out of
mm-hmm.
her view of heaven and everything. Mendes France's little short story about Pontius Pilate, who was an old man in retirement, can't even remember who Christ was. And Gide's novel, The Immoralist. The cynicism is very, very clear, about the turn in people's hearts and things of that sort. So eventually, the generation rebelled, and they wanted practical philosophy, too. They wanted philosophy that led to the good life, happiness and everything, and not just pedantic pronouncements.
Well, that era in Europe in particular for the philosopher, those times following World War I and leading up to World War II, I mean, there were some extraordinary minds.
Yes.
I mean, not only can I mention as well Edith Stein and
yes.
Just so many that would lead to not only a political awakening or a call, but also to theological areas. I mean,
yes.
they're underpinnings of it all.
Yes, and of course, France was a great culture,
mm-hmm.
with all those centuries behind it, and there's always been that tension, certainly since the French Revolution, between the old regime and the new revolutionary regime, you see, and this was something that Maritain had to deal with. He once gave a public lecture in 1938 at the Mignon Theater in Paris,
mm-hmm.
against anti-Semitism, and he was hooted mm-hmm. by the audience, and the rightist press the next day pilloried him. And why? Well, it wasn't that they were anti-Semitic so much, but he criticized Hitler for his anti-Semitism. And they regarded Hitler as their savior against socialism. So in their convoluted thinking, a criticism of Hitler was an affirmation of socialism. And so there was this tension, which also surfaced in the Dreyfus Affair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the anti-Semitism and this and that. So it was, and most fundamentally, perhaps, that tension between Christianity and secularism.
Mm-hmm. It helps us to appreciate Maritain, especially in this work that's been brought forth, a culmination, essentially, by Ignatius Press, entitled Christianity and Democracy, and the Rights of Man and the Natural Law. Why is this so important for today?
Well, one of the reasons is, here again, Christianity is, as to use C.S. Lewis's book title, you know, God's in the dock. We've been secularizing in the Western world, as you know, as I said, in the forward to the book. The European Union Constitution does not mention God.
Mm-hmm.
We have fewer and fewer people, Catholics, say, in America, going to church on Sunday. God is becoming, you might say, the new pornography, and religion with it. And then there are the tensions. For example, the one we're witnessing now between the Catholic Church, primarily, and the Obama administration's health plan,
mm-hmm.
about contraception having to be delivered. We have pharmacists who are against morally and religiously giving out Plan B or emergency contraceptive devices because they believe they're abortifacients, at least in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we're witnessing this kind of pressure on Christianity again and its doctrine. And Maritain wanted to argue that you don't realize the stakes until you reflect upon the foundations of democracy. And democracy would not have come into existence, the democracy we know is liberal democracy, without Christianity. Christianity was the leaven,
mm-hmm.
that provided the energy and the inspiration for democracy. And so if you cut democracy from its Christianity, you cut its roots.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the fact that we have 4,000 legal abortions every day in the United States, see the breakdown of the family, I mean, this whole movement towards gay marriage would have not have occurred if marriage itself had not broken down. I mean, fewer and fewer people in this generation are getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I guess their parents got divorced and they thought it was sort of painful or futile. And so it's very timely that we have this book. Maritain, of course, wrote it because communism and fascism were anti-Christian and anti-God, really. And he was trying to point out, you know, this is not going to go where we want to. The second book in this volume, on the natural law and human rights, Maritain was on the committee that drew up the first draft of what is now the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite important because one of the big problems was, how do you get people of different cultures and different religions to accept the same doctrine of rights when you wish to argue that rights come only from God.
Mm.
And so these books were very, very timely, and they are today. See, just that the threat of secularism comes from different directions. It's not communism anymore, for example, but it is a more fundamental secularism, you know, a belief that we can do just fine without religion. And if you like Dawkins' book and the late Christopher Hitchens' book, you know, God is not great.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very good because it deals with fundamentals. You know, what is democracy about? What are human rights about? You know, where do they derive their rationale? Mm-hmm. And he makes a very good point, too, in Christianity and Democracy, that ironically, the doctrine from Christianity seeps into the culture, and the culture, even if it's secularized, defends the doctrine, but in a secularized form, because he points out that, look what happened to slavery. You see, it was the secular people and the people outside Catholicism who spoke against slavery. You know, the first people to denounce slavery in America, for example, and the rationalists in France, rationalist philosophers who argued for the rights of every human being. And Maritain once argued, this is a Christian doctrine, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, etc. But it got secularized, and even in that form, it served as a leaven, you know, to change the attitude towards rights and what the purpose of government was all about.
Isn't it interesting that we're living in a time that we are very close to the point of, if you speak out against certain movements in the culture, you must be silenced.
Yes.
And silenced and punished in a way that you may not be taken to the gulag, but you could have certain privileges revoked. You could be punished and fined in certain ways, in such that could cause true suffering and pain in the life of organizations and of people.
That's quite true, and that's why, as an academic, I not only defend tenure, I embrace it, because, you know, it gives me a platform to speak about the meaning of marriage and against same-sex marriage, and speak against abortion, mm-hmm. etc. And in certain contexts, as you well point out, I would not be working, mm-hmm. at least not as a teacher. So you're quite right, and it's much worse when it gets a legal backing, you know, in some sense. You know, for example, people are whistleblowers about certain things, and they wind up losing their job, and it looks all very proper. You know, proper channels were used. So this is a difficult time, you know, that people lose their jobs or they get into trouble. And remember that fellow, was it teaching at a state university who taught Catholic thought?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And somebody asked him, what is the church's position on homosexuality? And he gave the position, and he got fired.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is no fantasy tale. It's really happening.
Yeah, and it's all the guys that, well, you hurt others, so you're not allowed to speak.
Exactly.
And that, in public discourse, I mean, you take away that liberty of being able to even be able to speak in the public forum anymore. It's not just one wall that is being assaulted. There's many walls.
Uh-huh. And it happens suddenly. In Maritain's book, another book called Man and the State, and this book was based on a series of lectures he gave at the University of Chicago in the early 50s. He has a chapter on the gospel and democracy, and points out that we slumber. He says the people slumber in America, and he loved America. Mm-hmm. And that reminded me, I was born and raised here in the city of San Francisco, always liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
And there was segregation, and nobody said anything about it. African Americans couldn't belong to unions, you know, they got et cetera, et cetera. Nobody said anything,
mm-hmm.
until we had the people who woke us up, you know, the civil rights movement and everything. We see the same thing about abortion now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, given all the evidence we have on the nature of the unborn, that it's a human being, mm-hmm. the nature, you know, the evidence from the science of embryology. And look at how many people think it's quite respectable to defend abortion on request or demand, as they put it. And it's the same thing. So it takes people who are, as Maritain says, shock troops. And he calls them shock troops because we're slumbering. And our attention has to be called to the gravity of what, in fact, is going on around us.
And in so many different ways, too, that in Christianity and Democracy, that portion of this volume on the work of Jacques Maritain, I think we have to really remember it, not only his thought on this, but also of de Tocqueville, who talked about why does democracy work? Because democracy, for the most part, was feared and kept at arm's length because there was this feeling that the majority, or in some cases the mob, could control and suppress the minority. And that Christianity offered the one thing that other cultures didn't, and that was you had to take care, you had to love your neighbor, you had to help the poor. It was that message they heard on a Sunday.
Yep.
That brought balance.
How precious are the poor. And the but this fear of the masses getting out of control, I think it was even expressed by some of the founding fathers of our country. Mm-hmm. And but Mortimer Adler makes a good point in one of his works that the demand for democracy, in other words, that the people determine who should rule them, what laws they should have. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's based primarily on justice because we are political animals, you know, rational beings. Mm-hmm. And the way you to combat incompetence among the people is education, and this is the start of the public education in the democratic countries. Mm. You know, but how well we succeeded is another matter. But
right, we have always wanted to be able to have the rest of the world experience the type of freedoms that we've enjoyed,
that's
one of the reasons why the greatest generations have fought in other countries to be able to free them and to protect what we have.
That's right.
And it's sad in a way that we haven't really grasped, isn't it, Doctor, that in some areas where we want to give democracy a chance, because of when we let go, when we finally leave and let go, we don't know what they'll vote in. So if they're not have that Christian type of philosophy, let's just say, call it a philosophy, the Christian mindset, that things could get voted in that could hurt the minority. And we're seeing that in South Sudan. We're seeing it in areas of the Middle East. Really, it's difficult to watch, isn't it?
Oh, I think that's, you're quite right. And, Maritain makes, among his many points in the Christianity and Democracy book, that when you have a culture that's Christian, it's anti-slavery. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, America has a bad track record on that. We had to fight a civil war mm-hmm. to settle it. Mm-hmm. But he said those governments that are not Christian, slavery is seen as a normal part of life. Mm-hmm. And we can see this in so many of the Middle Eastern countries. I've forgotten the nation in the Middle East, but I think the UN reported a few years back they had 40,000 slaves.
Mm. And the rights of man and the natural law as well. The natural law is something that doesn't seem to fit in our vocabulary. We just don't have that vocabulary anymore. What happened?
Well, it lost the battle to what they call legal positivism, which was, is that any law that's on the books is a genuine law. It might be a bad law, and therefore should be got rid of, but it's a genuine law. Whereas in the natural law tradition, law must be based on morality. And as Aquinas argues, a law must have four properties. It must be rational. He calls it an ordinance of reason. Mm-hmm. It must be put forth by somebody in authority, and it must be made known. It's called promulgated, because if it's not made known to the people, it's not binding. And then finally, it must be for the common good. It can't be for my family or my group of supporters. Otherwise, it's not a law. Mm-hmm. And we gradually lost that law. I mean, in other words, the German jurists became propounders of legal positivism as opposed to natural law. and which means you could make anything legal. We also lost the sense of what we call common sense philosophy, that human beings have a nature. And we have basic inclinations, which are universal. In other words, we try to protect the life, first our own life and then the life of our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, if we go in the right direction, the lives of all innocent people. We are sexually attracted to the opposite sex, and out of that you get babies, and therefore you need marriage, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we lost the philosophical justification of that. We have academics who deny there's such a thing as human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a social construct, and it could be anything. I think the writer, Marty Yama, identifies five genders.
Wow.
No one of them having, you know, priority.
Hmm.
And so this is the sort of thing that's happened. Philosophy broke down, and human habits went in the wrong direction. And one of the things Plato points out, that it's why he was against democracy for almost all his life, it produces a greed for freedom. And he said it's this greed which destroys democracy and turns it into tyranny. And when you think about the what I mentioned earlier, the widespread practice of legal abortion,
mm-hmm.
you know, how it makes human innocent human life a negotiable item, you know, and how can you have a democracy or a rational law on that basis? So, and what was at stake when Maritain wrote? He wrote both these books in the early 40s, well, maybe late 30s and 40s, and he's talking about how human rights are now at stake. You know, the rights of the innocent to life, the rights of people to determine their own political destiny and everything of the sort. But the big problem was to defend the fact that there is a human nature, and this human nature stretches forward trying to find fulfillment, which it can only find in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And such a law means there is a divine lawgiver, namely God, etc.
It's the difference between, I think Pope John Paul II, Blessed John Paul II, really helped us to see it, at least in the Catholic milieu, that we have in the gospel of life the freedom to do good.
Yep.
We think that we want freedom to do whatever I want to do, but that in some way it could hurt another. And the ability in that Christian perspective to look for and to care for the other
mm-hmm.
brings about true freedom for us.
That's right. Freedom is not just the absence of restraint, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, the absence of restraint, which is a context for me to do what mm-hmm. I know is the thing I ought to do, which, of course, involves helping and not hurting other people. And that is a debate in many ways, you know, the question of how free people are when they lead a life of simply self-gratification. And in the gospel of life, but also I think the splendor of truth,
mm-hmm.
Which I guess he wrote before the gospel of life,
mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
points out that, see, we're in an age now where I have a right to act out my self-perception, you know, what I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I regard the body as an obstacle. He says this in the Gospel of Life, yeah? It's an obstacle. And mm-hmm. so I can go for a sex change.
Mm-hmm.
I can be anything, you see, I want. The body is no longer important. And you see this in the erasure of the difference between men and women now.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to say certain things about certain genders, and therefore you don't. And by the way, I'm tickled to watch these programs at night, you know, crime scene investigations.
Mm-hmm.
More and more they have women on the police force beating up men and, you know, engaging them in equal fight and beating them up and shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And men are seen as, well, if you're a man, you're a man and you have your utility, but there's no big difference between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And this is certainly a pagan philosophy known as Gnosticism. In other words, that the body is a an obstacle to self-fulfillment rather than an indicator of where one makes one's choices for self-fulfillment.
Mm. Well, so much to reflect on. I mean, Dr. Denihan, it's been wonderful to spend time with you and to be able to talk about the work of Jacques Maritain, The Christianity and Democracy and the Rights of Man and the Natural Law, a wonderful volume brought to us, again, by the great folks at Ignatius Press. Any final thoughts?
The Maritain book is very, very timely because Christianity and human rights are on the chopping block, so to speak, just by sources different from communism and fascism, but they're still secular sources. So I think it's a gold mine of philosophical insight and worth our reading.
It's a great way to do battle with those isms that all have different heads, but they all stem from the same body.
Yes. Oh, well said.
So.
Yeah, you get tired chopping off heads.
Yeah. They just keep growing back and then looking just a little different.
That's right. And this is the problem of freedom. I was thinking the other day, I don't know, do I have time to say this?
Sure, please do.
The Mary could have said no. You know, her whole yes had meaning only because she could have said no. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the line of freedom, it went the other way. God wants us to freely choose him. So Lucifer says no. Adam and Eve de facto said no.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary could have said no. And if she couldn't have said no, then it wouldn't have been a free act.
Right.
And so this has been on my mind for a few months now, the significance of this. You know, what if she had said no?
I'm glad she didn't.
I am too, very much so.
Dr. Raymond Dennehy, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. You're a good interviewer. So,
well, it's fun
to talk. To do that.
It's fun to talk with you and your puppies.
Yeah, I wish we could control our little puppies. The problem is they're not puppies. They're rescue dogs. And they're 5, 6, and 7, and one is 16, and another 13.
Don't apologize for your dogs. They're great. No, I've got 3 pugs. God bless.
You. Same to you. Bye-bye.
But Dr. Raymond Dennehy, we've gone inside the pages of Jacques Maritain's classic works, Christianity and Democracy, and the Rights of Man and the Natural Law, a single-volume edition published by Ignatius Press. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to ignatius.com, the website for its publisher, Ignatius Press, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of DiscerningHearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.